They be like, slow up, homie, you're talking too fast. I got a couple of quips, I came to talk trash. Yeah, he's Bucky Watts and Bradley Bax. This is going down, we call it the G-Splash. Ayy.
Hey, welcome, gotta hit him with it, welcome to another episode, we here, another episode of G to the Splash, actually just G Splash,
this the dope show,
the dopest show on the internet, where we're talking movies, comic books, all things pop culture. Love to talk about Tekashi 6ix9ine today, but I'm not gonna do that.
Skip.
We're gonna there we are that one out. Sorry, can't say that. have you been following up on that story at all? Do you know who that is?
It's wild. Oh yeah, oh totally.
I would have put it in the show, but there's so much to talk about. I didn't want to take up the whole show.
It's a lot.
Anyway, I'm your host, Bradley Baxter. This is my more times than not co-host, Chris.
That's
Bucky Watts.
Make
some noise.
In the house. Hi everybody. Happy to be here.
It been Chia. This is the only podcast on the internet that forgot how fucking ridiculous and hilarious Workaholics is. Or was.
Yeah,
is this show still on the air?
I think they're done with it now.
Man, they definitely, their office, once they started being successful, that office looked really nice toward the end.
It's really changed.
Yeah. Man, we haven't had a show. For a couple of weeks, we were gone.
Took the old holiday on our
Thanksgiving. Spent some time with the fam bam. Got my nieces. Man, those little monsters love to wear me out, but I love them.
Got to spend some good time with the fam. That's nice.
Yeah. It was always a good time. What about you? You stuff up your turkey?
The fam on Thursday and hanging out and eating all the good food. And
then
I had my 30th birthday on Sunday, so that was a trip. Welcome to the 30s. Bingo, bango.
Welcome to the dark side.
Yeah. Here we go. Now I've got to be an adult. Had to throw all my clothes away.
Yeah, I'm going to give you some advice after turning 30.
Ooh, I would like that.
There's only death after this.
So. Oh, God. Why would you say that? I'm so fragile now.
Happy birthday, Chris. You
hey,
are
thanks,
always.
Man.
Yeah, man. Did you have a good birthday?
I did, man. It was very chill. I mean, I took Monday off of work, and we got Thanksgiving and Black Friday off, so I had like a nice long 5-day weekend. Got
nice.
Some work done around the house that we've been remodeling.
It looks phenomenal.
My birthday looks great. Took a little siesta on my birthday. You know, had a nice nap, spent some time with the family, the normal stuff. I'm not a big rage party kind of guy. Don't worry, I can get down. But I definitely took it very chill this last weekend.
I can get down. Yeah, man. At this point on, you still have. Now you're like. No, I can still hang. You have
oh,
to
I can
prove
hang,
that now.
But once a month, once a year, and then I'm pretty much checked out for the year.
Yeah, a lot of people start feeling hangovers for real after 30. Yeah,
there we go.
As always, upcoming episodes and announcements. Splash Trash Mad Comic Book Edition. Chris and I talk about our picks of the week. Go-Go Power Rangers, number 14 for me. And Chris, you picked what?
I picked American Carnage. It's like a crime, infiltration, cops and bad guys type thing, kind of outside the superhero realm. Really fun, really interesting. I definitely say check it out and see where it goes.
Definitely check out that episode. It will be live tomorrow, or if you're already watching after Thursday, it's already available to you. Next week, we'll be talking about Spider-Man, our take on the video game for PlayStation 4, only for PlayStation 4. It has been dope. I'm loving it so far, and I think I'm just now getting through the tutorial stage.
You're gonna be in the real thing. You're gonna be in the real soup of it by then.
Yeah. and also Splash Trash Mad next week, we'll be talking about Anna and the Apocalypse and Once Upon a Deadpool. We'll get into that. There's some good stuff today. Chris, are you ready to get into this news?
I'm so ready.
So, news. So, real quick, Chris never listens to the show, but he knows that there's a soundbite for the news, and every episode he always reenacts it, and it's always hilarious. So, I kind of had to let it slide this one. So, we're starting off on a negative foot, but also a celebration of another great creator. The SpongeBob creator, Steven Hillenburg, has passed away. Now, SpongeBob is a huge success, huge hit.
Oh, my gosh, massive. I love it. It's one of my, I mean, I used to watch it every day. And I was a little bit too old even for SpongeBob, and I was like, this is freaking amazing.
See, I didn't, and I'm saying this like in the, but I'm not hating. Like, this isn't sure, hate. I just didn't like the show.
But you're a couple years older than me, and I was right at the edge, so I could definitely see how you'd be like a little bit outside the realm.
My nephew loved it. My niece loved it. Everyone I work with in the office seems to love it. He died at 57. The cause of death was ALS, which Hillenburg revealed he had been diagnosed back in March. Wow. Now, Nickelodeon said this. They said, "We are incredibly saddened by the news that Steven Hillenburg has passed away following his battle with ALS. He was a beloved friend, a longtime creative partner to everyone at Nickelodeon, and our hearts go out to his entire family." Yeah, this is a tough one with ALS. Definitely too soon. I'm not sure 100% on where he was and still. Are there still new episodes?
They make SpongeBob. Absolutely.
Because like, there's a movie that came out.
They get some good ones. Yeah, they just had a movie like last year, Sponge Out of Water.
It's definitely relevant. It's still
relevant. It's a big brand still. It's definitely not gone.
SpongeBob is the king of memes. Like, there's always a meme about SpongeBob.
Absolutely.
About current stuff. So it's crazy. Definitely a sad day for that brand. I got to give the guy my props because as a creator, you know, to make it to that level and be such a powerful brand, that's something that is not taken lightly with me. Like, so
yeah,
rest in peace to you, Steven Hillenburg. Four horn salute.
Good on that one. Good on that one. Yeah. Great show. Great creative mind. Yes. Very sad.
Yes.
Yes.
So moving on from there, it's hard to get back up into the hype of our show because we have fun here.
We do.
And I would rather celebrate what that man has created and established to pop culture. So we'll celebrate that here. That's why we give him the air horn salute.
Heck yes.
Moving on to another creator who is killing the game, literally. Oh, Robert Kirkman is getting another one of his stories called 5 Year into a TV show. He is teaming up with E1 Entertainment to produce and distribute 5 Year. And 5 Year is based on a story by Kirkman that follows the fate of society in the final 5 years before an unstoppable meteor destroys the planet.
Interesting.
I haven't read this comic book, Chris.
But I have not either.
Robert Kirkman is mad. Like, he's in that apocalyptic world.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's coming. I mean, I haven't seen anything from him that wasn't that. Looked that hard.
That's
either.
A very interesting, like, that's something that I've never, like, put too much thought to, but it comes up a lot of times where it's like, man, if the world knew it was going to end, like, what would happen? Like, what would people do? We just, like, freaking lose our minds, turn into, like, animals again? Like, that's a really interesting thing to kind of be diving, a big topic to go into. And a different, not necessarily a different take on apocalypse. Well, no, it's got that apocalyptic feel, but there's, like, a different motivation for how we got there. I think that's interesting. I want to check that out for sure.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to me to know, like, if someone said, hey, Chris, here's your clock.
Yeah, oh, God, I got to go rob a bank now. You know, just lose your mind, start doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the fact that there's, like, it's almost like the story of Armageddon, I guess, that movie, right? Like,
exactly. The giant meteor coming. They, like, didn't tell anybody until, like, the day of, because they were like, if people know, they're going to kill each other in the streets.
That's another thing.
5 years? Uh-oh.
When do you think they would let, like,
in real life, they wouldn't tell us. I don't think they'd tell us. It would have to get leaked somehow. Because they'd know that we just all just like go fucking crazy and just we're just monsters. We'd all just
anarchy,
killing and pillaging, and it would just, they'd be like, no, don't tell anybody until people are like, that's a funny looking thing in the.
Wait, what the fuck? Oh,
that thing's getting close. Quick, boom!
We're all dead. I like the concept knowing that there's a timeline on it. So timeline. Yo, he's had Skybound and Robert Kirkman's line, and they've obviously been very successful. So I'm interested to see that. Speaking of mind-boggling things and things I didn't see coming, Disney and Fox are now in the middle of a $1 billion lawsuit.
Jiminy Christmas.
Over an abandoned theme park overseas. So we know about the merger.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually supposed to go down back in 2013, or at least start the process, and it's supposed to open next year. But the two giant media companies signed an agreement with Genting Malaysia back in 2013. Genting now claims that Fox pulled out of the agreement at the last second, denying Resort World Genting licenses for a Fox theme park. A lawsuit was reported filed in California on Monday, claiming that Genting had already invested $180 million into Fox World before the project was halted. It would have included attractions like rides from Ice Age, even Planet of the Apes. Disney made $20+ billion last year from park revenue alone.
Wow.
So apparently there was some kind of, Disney was kind of, from what I read, Disney was kind of flirting with like making it difficult with licensing. And I'm sure the merger, so back then, it's 2013, somebody probably knew that the merger was going to start happening.
So they were like, okay, let's start pulling back from this thing.
Yeah.
I got to jump out in front of this and just say, who the fuck wants to go to Fox World?
I don't know, man. There's a lot of
I'm
going to
travel halfway around the world so I can ride the Ice Age ride or Planet of the Apes. This is me. Maybe there are people out there, big fans, good for you, like what you like. But I'm just thinking of this thing like the two things they're saying, you'll never guess what we had as our big attractions, are Ice Age and Planet of the Apes. Like, okay.
Keep in mind, let's go back to 2013 where you're not expecting a Disney and Fox merger.
That's true. So you're just kind of like, let's do something. Let's do anything. Talking, Fox. In Malaysia? I don't know. I don't buy it.
You're talking Simpsons at that time? Not with Universal yet, right?
No, they're definitely in 2013. They're definitely there.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But still doesn't mean they can't go to that one.
I mean, I guess, yeah. It's just a weird thing. And you invest $180 million, so you're suing for $1 billion. It seems like a real shenanigans that are going on here. But maybe they're right. Maybe Fox and Disney really were like, oh, screw these little guys. What are they going to do, sue us? And
well,
like,
Fox has, I would disagree, like Family Guy. You could have Family Guy in there.
I guess, yeah.
Fox got properties.
They got I guess. It just doesn't say any of that. It says there was just Ice Age and Planet of the Apes. Give me a little more. Whet my whistle.
Malcolm in the Middle House in there somehow.
Malcolm in the Middle House.
I don't know.
You guys gone over to ride Malcolm in the Middle House? You're going to hate it.
Some kind of, I don't know, there's Fox has properties. Die Hard. Maybe they have the Die Hard building drop
Nakatomi Plaza. I could ride that. I'd ride the crap out of that.
And then at the end he goes, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Are we sure that that's a Fox film?
Guess what, Chris? Hit the tagline.
Which is, welcome to the party, pal. Yeah, it's 20th Century Fox.
Not that. It was fucking worth a Google.
Oh, yeah, it's worth a Google.
Yeah.
And I just Googled it. 20th
Century Fox, though.
It was 20th Century
Maybe
Fox,
they'd even have their own fucking newsland.
Where who cares?
Everything comes through and it's just like fake news.
Oh, wow. That would be a real treat for some people. Well, we'll see how this lawsuit shakes out. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a billion out of them. I mean, yeah, they obviously have 20 of them to spare. Oh, man. Speaking of things getting stolen and fucked over. Deadpool's coming out in a PG-13 film. Deadpool 2, I should say.
Mm-hmm, I saw this.
So apparently, was it last year? A year ago. A writer tweeted at Ryan Reynolds and said, if Marvel forces you to make a PG-13 Deadpool, just copy the framing device from The Princess Bride and have Deadpool censoring it for Fred Savage as a bedtime story.
Mm-hmm.
A kidnapped adult Fred Savage at that. This was sent December 7th, 2017. Obviously, the movie's rated R. Then they decided to make a PG-13 version of it for what? What's the reason?
Just to
make more money off it?
Yeah, just to make more money off it to kind of see if they can do it. I think it's like I think there's like part of it is just to be like, oh, fun and look at us. But also there's something that I read about like maybe it's also a play to show that you can have the character exist and still be funny and work in a PG-13 format so that he could be involved in other licenses and movies and things like that. That's something that they're kind of fencing. Like, does he still work if he's not rated R?
This might be a blend to the MCU type thing.
Yes, kind of like, let's just see if he can exist outside of this hardcore R format.
So this whole new movie is coming out with obviously this narration. So they actually did this idea, but according to all the tweets back and forth, Ryan Reynolds and this gentleman, apparently it's a huge coincidence. Chris, what is your take on this? Do you think it's a coincidence, or do you think
the odds it's a coincidence, right? I mean,
it's to the T what he said.
It's dead on. That would be quite a coincidence.
Apparently, he said I'm not angry. I'm more amused and confused. He also said, he didn't even know about it until they came out.
Tweeted the exact plot of the new Once Upon a Deadpool PG version of Deadpool 2, and Ryan Reynolds almost a year ago, and somehow wound up in the movie without me. Like, he's like, yeah. And then he like retweeted, like, see, here it is. It's like, can I get some credit for this?
Yes, at least some premiere tickets.
And then he's like, man, I'm not trying to sue anybody. Like, I just wanted to get it out there and let everybody know this was my idea, which is kind of cool.
I'm surprised there's not a lawyer like, yo.
Like, man, are you kidding me? We can get all of the money. Do you want to have all of the money?
You want to own Deadpool? We could do this. There is a lawyer. There's probably got. He had to have.
Somebody's banging on the door. Somebody's making calls. By someone like,
fucking, what's his name?
Freaking Lyle Hutz.
Lyle Hutz is like, hey,
Simpson. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. That's really, in some way, God, I just feel like, I hope they make it right with this guy. Like, even if they come out and said, like, okay, we have a guy named Tad, and Tad came up with this idea, and he says it was all on his own, but we still respect this guy had this idea, so we're going to give him credit. Like, give him some kind of credit. You're Deadpool. You guys are fun and whimsical. If this is happening, just be like, okay, fuck yeah, man. That was your idea. Cool.
I mean, just save face at this point.
Yeah, just like, be like, oh, you like, know this what? Is stuff, who knows what happened?
No, I don't know. The movie comes out December 12th. You going to see it?
Heck yeah. I'll probably go check it out. Why not?
Yeah. I probably will too. Supposedly, the biggest rumor of it is that Hugh Jackman might make an appearance.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Apparently, he's announcing something tomorrow or today, since we dropped this on Thursday, on Ellen or some show, I think.
No, but getting us all set up and ready for it.
It's in line, and they've been Twitter battling. Man, Ryan Reynolds loves to tweet.
He sure does. He loves talking to people through all that stuff. He's really good at it. He's great. He leans into it. Yeah. And it's really him too. He's not. He has a publicist doing this. He probably does, but he just seems very authentic in himself. Love to hang out with the guy. Really would.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably just his assistant who hangs out with him all day. He's like, you know what? Tweet this, and then just like they do it. That's how it works. Or maybe he's got the Twitter fingers. I don't know. Anyway, moving on to things, and I really wanted to talk to you about this, Chris. Staying in the Disney realm, sort of. And being a remake at that, the Lion King trailer came out.
Yes, very. And
according to Variety, the clip was actually the most viewed Disney trailer ever at 22.46 million.
Does not shock me.
Globally, in a 24-hour span. But people are on the fence about it because this is considered a live-action film.
Yeah,
but very close. Very, very close to the cartoon, but it's all CGI. It's not like, obviously, animals don't talk, so you can't really film this.
Yeah, without. I'm very...
It's a different form of animation.
Yeah, I'm not confused by it. Like, at this point, from what we've seen, and I see where everybody's like, oh, it looks just like... Well, it's shot for shot, and like, how is this live action if everything's CGI? I'm thinking of it so far, and I'm sure that things will change and they'll do whatever, but it reminds me a lot more of a video game being remastered right now, where... It was like a PlayStation 1 game, and it had the old like original PlayStation graphics and whatever, and people loved it so much that then they made a remastered version, or a PlayStation 2 or whatever, with the newest console, so that you get clearer graphics, better cutscenes, like the gameplay is smoother. That's what it seems like to me. It's like, hey, you guys love Lion King? We're going to make it, but it's going to look like the animals are real.
I don't know why, but I was disappointed. I mean, yes, I was disappointed. I don't know why, though, because I didn't really expect it to be anything different than what I saw. But I mean, if it's shot for shot, like, I don't know. I think it's kind of whack.
I'm sure that this teaser, same music. Maybe they knew what they were doing marketing wise. Maybe they're like, hey, let's make this cut together look like it's a shot for shot thing, all set up. Like, let's get people very comfortable with this new live action. And then as we release more trailers and the film itself, there will be variation. But for now, let's again just whet people's appetites for it.
Yeah, because I mean, you have James Earl Jones in it too. So
yeah, even got him to come back, which is great.
You have this all-star cast that you kind of don't even really need, because you could just take it from the original cut.
You already had all the audio. Just rip that and drop it over these animals. Someone will end up doing that, I guarantee.
Damn right. That's fucking exactly what's... Save you how much money? How much money would you think they would save if they just did that?
Millions.
Millions, because you got Beyonce in there.
Yep, you just go, just copy and paste, just drop the audio files, line it up.
Yeah.
One guy they can do it, play. And he's out of there.
You know, boom. The Beehive don't play, man. So she, you know, she's getting paid. Speaking of things dangerously red and dead and all of that, talking about Red Dead Beta is now live. I still think they're trickling people in still, but Red Dead Redemption, which is the sequel,
Red Dead Redemption is now live.
Two.
No, the game's out. What does it mean, beta?
It's online beta. Sorry.
You can play online. Oh, kind of like Grand Theft Auto.
Open world. Open world. Yeah. In a lot of ways, Red Dead Online takes a lot of what made Grand Theft Auto 5 online mode, which is simply called Grand Theft Auto Online, blah, blah, blah. Work implemented into the old Wild West. Still, there's a lot of brand new features that developer Rockstar has taken great care in adding Red Dead Online, including an expanded reliance on natural free roam events that occur on the map. Additionally, there's a posse system, encourages teaming up with friends and other players, tackling the world of Red Dead Online.
Wow, interesting. That'd be fun. That's one of the games kind of like Spider-Man where I'm like, this is open fun. World. Yeah, it's open world, it's open world game. It's just, I mean, it's basically just, they're doing exactly what they did for Grand Theft Auto. It's like, this is Grand Theft Auto Online, except for now, you're a cowboy. Pew, pew. Get out there, kids.
Yeah, so there's actually, there's a couple new storylines. And again, they're rolling this out very strategically. Like, if you bought this edition first, the biggest edition first, you're the first in. If you bought or played the game at this point in time,
you get to be in now.
And then I think everyone's allowed to be in it after a certain date. I don't know if I think it's in December.
Wow.
The game's been out for a month. It's gotten a lot of crazy hype.
People freaking loving it.
There's even an Easter egg to an add-on. No one really knows yet, but this has been on Reddit that they're gonna do the Nightmare Edition like they did
for the last, other one, the zombie one. Fighting stuff. Yeah.
So apparently there's an Easter egg to that. So it hasn't been said yet whether or not that's coming or if this is just an Easter egg kind of nod to that. It's a cool Easter egg. The video is online. There's some spoilers in it, so I'm not gonna talk about it because I haven't played it yet. But
We gotta get on that after Spider-Man. We gotta knock that out. Now that we're both console havers.
Yeah, I just got a PS4, so I'm
woohoo.
I'm asking Chris to be my friend.
Yeah, I gotta get you that information tonight.
Just add me. You know my name, Bradley Baxter. I'm deep in
these. You kept it. Oh, look at that. You said it on here too. Now you're gonna get tons of people.
Hope so. Hit me up. Hit me up. I'll probably never be online to play, but I'll be there. Chris, I gotta ask you, open world games, like, is it too much? Like, some of these worlds are really big.
I mean, it's meant to be a big experience.
I walk around New York every single day of my life right now. Mm-hmm. And now I'm swinging in a video game, and it still feels like I'm walking 30 blocks.
Blowing your mind. Sometimes. Like, man, I can't. Oh, that's such a thing. I remember in the early days of like open world type games where it was small. It felt enormous. And now like you go back like Grand Theft Auto 3 or you go back and play one of those games and you're like, holy crap, like there's not really, it's big, but it's not like crazy. And then now you play a game like Grand Theft Auto 5 or Red Dead 2 and you're just like, oh my god, like it just keeps, even like Arkham City, which is a great open world game, you're even though other parts of the city open, you're confined to Arkham City and you're kind of like, this is really big, but I can get around pretty easy. Now you're like, I gotta ride a horse for 6 days, like an Elder Scrolls game, or not even the Witcher at least has areas. It's like, okay, I gotta get from this town to that town and I can't fast travel because I'm encumbered, so now it looks like I'll be riding my horse like a real person had to.
Yeah, it's almost like
the authentic Western experience.
It's
like tough titties. You got to ride a horse. Real life.
I still really want to play the game. I'm trying not to jump the gun. I want to say the Grand Theft Auto Online didn't really pan out to be the greatest thing. I think it got better when the PlayStation 4 came out because that game originally came out on PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to do that with the PlayStation 3, and it was very laggy, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But, Chris, that's going to wrap our news. Now let's talk about our special event we're doing today.
G-Splash Greatlets! Splash Trash and Duh! With your hosts, Brad Lee Baxter and Chris the Bucky Watts!
Splash Trash Meh episode on our main show where we're reviewing some of these Thanksgiving leftovers movie-wise that came out over the weekend. Lots of good stuff, lots of trash, and I can't wait to dive in. Chris, I did originally have four movies on our list to talk about,
mm-hmm.
but I cut one out. Now,
you're a cutter.
I'm not going to... You. Let's not dig into my personal life. I'd appreciate it. Chris, there's three movies on the list that you see. The other movie I cut out was called Instant Parents.
Oh, yeah, with Mark Wahlberg.
Of these four movies that I mentioned, three of them are certified fresh.
Interesting.
The movies on this list are Instant Family, Fantastic Beasts, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Solid. Creed 2.
Okay.
And like I said, maybe you already know this, so you may be cheating, but do you know which one is not certified fresh?
It's gotta be Fantastic Beasts.
Fantastic Beasts on that list is not certified fresh.
Well, we're going to talk about exactly why it's not.
Granted, but if you just heard that,
you'd be like, "What's the? You like Instant Family?
You know, Instant Family all day.
I don't know. It seemed like a heartwarming, you know, flick, and Octavia Spencer's in it, and she does great work.
So I've seen this movie, and I kind of was like, I go to the movies by myself, and I was kind of questioning, why the fuck did I go to see this movie?
Here I am.
It's about a family that's
instant.
It's about a couple that adopts family, and it goes through that whole thing. It's based on a true story, and I'm just giving it an honorable mention at this point. But like, I did question myself, why the fuck am I at this movie?
Mm-hmm.
But I liked the movie. I actually really liked the movie. I thought it was a good movie. It wasn't over the top, doofy Mark Wahlberg. You know how he can get over the top funny, trying to be funny.
Oh, absolutely. He gets a little bit too quirky or weird or whatever.
No, I think all the jokes hit. Obviously, it's very emotional. I was surprised by it, but again, I still question, why the fuck did I go see this movie? I have no plans for a family or anything else.
I mean, it was fun. It was, you enjoyed it, but it wasn't like earth-shaking.
It wasn't a fun movie. It was like some real life shit, and I was like, I'm nowhere near this stage of my life. Anyway, Chris, which one of these movies you want to talk about first?
Let's just go from the top we got here. So let's hit Wreck-It Ralph. Ralph Breaks the Internet. Big Wreck-It Ralph fan.
Ralph Breaks the Internet. So this is a sequel to the movie Wreck-It Ralph. Now, Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet, a video game bad guy, Ralph, and his best friend Vanellope von Schweetz. Leaves the comforts of their arcade in an attempt to save the game Sugar Rush. Their quest takes them to the vast uncharted world of the internet, where they rely on citizens of the internet, the netizens, to help navigate their way. Leading a virtual hand are, yes, the head algorithm and the heart of the soul of the trend-making site BuzzTube, and Shank, a tough-as-nails driver from the gritty online auto racing game called Slaughter Race.
Ooh.
A place where Vanellope wholeheartedly embraces so much that Ralph worries he may lose his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this movie, Chris, but you're excited to see it.
Yes, I'm very excited. I was going to go on my birthday, but I took a nap instead.
Naps are good. This is a tough one for me because I really liked the first one.
Really? You didn't love
and
this
I know
one?
You,
I love the first
I
one.
I know you love
clever.
the first one, but I got to be honest with you, man. A nap was better.
Interesting. It's a bummer.
This has high scores on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm, and you just weren't a fan.
But I'm giving this one a trash.
Shit. Oh, no, a trash.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm giving it a trash because this movie is Ready Player One.
Interesting. They just threw too much at you.
It's a Disney version of Ready Player One.
Okay.
Lots of pop culture references, not as in depth, but as far as, because, you know, we talked about that, how that movie was way overdone with pop culture references.
Oh my God, yes.
But you hit a point in this movie where you're like, okay, I get it. Princesses. You get it. Like, you get hit with it, and you're like, all
right. Right.
I'm trying not to spoil it, because I don't want to discourage you from seeing the movie, because I you know, I don't want to,
no,
like,
I'm definitely going to see it. No chance I'm going to miss it. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Then I'll hold off from, like, the hardcore spoils, but it's very similar to Ready Player One.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that will agree with you. I mean, there's probably a lot of people out there that are going to be like, no, I love it, and it's different. It did an inventive way, and I'll have my opinion on it once I go see it this week. But yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there like, oh, I was bombarded by references nonstop.
Yeah, I was bummed. I was kind of bummed. I was looking forward to this movie. I really liked the first one, and I was excited.
Well, what a bummer.
Next on the list, I'm going to jump this one just for the sake of it, but Fantastic Beasts 2, the sequel to Fantastic Beasts 1.
Oy vey, here we go.
Grindelwald has escaped. If you saw the first one, you kind of know where it ended. Grindelwald has escaped custody and has set out gathering followers for most unsuspecting of its true agenda, to raise pureblood wizards to rule over the non-magical beings. In an effort to thwart Grindelwald's plan, Albus Dumbledore enlists his former student, Newt Scamander, who agrees to help, unaware that the dangers that lie ahead. Lines are drawn as love and loyalty are tested, even among the truest friends and family in an increasingly divided wizarding world.
Yeah.
We both saw this movie.
Yes,
right?
We did.
You saw it?
I did see it. Oh, yeah.
I thought this was going to be the movie to see.
Right. I was like, oh, this looks exciting. The trailers were good. I had big hopes. Big hopes, big dreams.
Chris, let's hear your thoughts, and then I'm already the hater, so
this is just like, it's just not a good movie. Like, there are parts of it that I appreciate, as far as like the fact that it's got these fantastic beasts, and I really enjoy seeing them, and you want almost more of them because they're so intriguing. But apart from the first movie, now you're into this thing where it almost completely lacks a story. And I know you can say, well, they're going to do 5 of these, so this must be a bridge movie. But that's not an excuse to make a movie without a story, where, like, I don't know how certain characters are actually connected, and the main character seems like, after I look back and reflect on, like, is he really even in the movie? And it's introducing other characters, and everything seems to be a throwaway. Like, oh, by the way, this person survived, and oh, you didn't know about this thing that happened. Like, there's so much of that happening, and there are shining spots. I think Johnny Depp actually does a really good job as Grindelwald. Like, he's very persuasive, and I can see, you're like, yeah, I totally buy that from Johnny Depp. And I think Jude Law is an amazing choice for Dumbledore, even though he's in like 3 scenes. Like, it's just really weak on story, and even some of the visual stuff. And if you're really going to dig into the bolts of it, for me, like, there's some stuff from Harry Potter lore that doesn't make any sense, that they changed. It's like, well, wait, you have a whole universe built, yet you're having different little things occur that we've, number one, maybe never seen, or you're doing without doing it the way that we're familiar with. Like, it just felt kind of sloppy and messy. And I'm not going to say I can't blame them, but I mean, this whole series is based off of an encyclopedia of animals from the magical creatures from a character that we've never really heard of. And so then they made a whole movie series about this deep story, and it's all leading to this epic battle. And it's just kind of, and this one's just all over the place, and it's really weak, and it's sad because I thought it was going
to
be great.
Yeah. To tailor on what you've already said, yeah, they sparked this series with their main title being Fantastic Beasts. And this movie, the first one, that was 100% what that movie was. This one had nothing to do with any Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, interesting.
This movie was not about any of those creatures. They were almost plugged, and this is spoilers going forward. So stop listening if you haven't seen the movie yet. But it was almost like they plugged in. They're like, "Fuck, we gotta throw a beast in here somewhere, some kind of creature."
Yeah, what'll work here?
They kind of threw in that sea creature who had like nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, and there's like also a lion thing that ends up playing a role in the plot. But then other than that one,
later,
there's any other animal is just sort of around. There's like two creatures that do really do anything in this one. It's just weird.
And I would honestly say that of all the creatures in this movie, there are no Fantastic Beasts.
I mean, the big giant cat thing's pretty cool, but we're already familiar with nibblers or nifflers or whatever those little things are called, that like coins. And we've seen Phoenix Eye. I don't know how with the plural of phoenixes. Maybe phoenixes.
There's nothing fantastic in this movie.
It's just weak. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a trash. Because I'm a real Harry Potter fan, it definitely let me down. I think it's a meh for sure. It is the epitome of meh.
You're gonna give it a meh?
Yeah, I think it's the epitome. It's got some strong stuff, and I can tell they tried in areas, and there are really bright spots. But overall, it just was underwhelming.
This one's straight up trash.
Garbage. You know what I'm talking about. Trash.
I didn't like anything about this movie. I thought the acting was the best part of this movie.
Great actors, great cast.
I didn't like the storyline between the couples, and then like Chris and you talk about this all the time, where it gets frustrating when you watch a movie and you're like, you can clear this mess up by saying one thing, and the one thing, there's like this relationship thing that's a misunderstanding from the jump, and no one's fucking hold on
from
there
the
it
jump.
Is conflict between two characters that could be cleaned up in 2 seconds, but it goes on and like causes conflict in the film for no reason. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Absolutely. There's weird.
Yell at the screen. Just fucking tell her it wasn't the case.
Yeah, or like I'm like, yeah, it's like just say that line.
That's
or
a,
like why is
there was
this
a typo in the fucking newspaper?
Yeah, this character in this area is like she's making weird choices that aren't real choices, or we haven't had enough to see her make these choices. It's almost like it's just weak. It's just one of those things where it's like, the guy said one thing and we're supposed to be sold that this good character is all of a sudden going to go to the other side, or this person says this thing and it changes everything. It's like you have to have good conversation, good dialogue, rich story and characters to make things like that work. And when you just are like glossing things over, cause you're like, we got a lot to cover, folks. Let's keep it moving. You're going to miss shit.
Yeah, no, I definitely found myself thinking about other
swing
things
and a miss
in my life than what was really going on in this movie. I was like, I wonder if our podcast is going to be good this week.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'm definitely not thrilled.
Yeah, you got to be a diehard fan. The glove, Jude Law's glove got more time than any Fantastic Beast.
Jude Law is great. Hubba hubba.
Yeah. Womp womp womp. And that whole relationship, I was like, oh, that's the relationship? And they were kind of, like, they didn't even really touch on it being them intimate or anything like that. It was like a handshake. And like really good friends.
Yeah. It's like, okay, cool.
And I felt like they were trying to like limit Johnny Depp's time.
Yeah, like they only had him for so long. I think he did a great job. I think both of them did a great job in the roles they want to be in. And what's his name? Freaking Eddie Redmayne. He's still a great character. I just don't think they let him do enough to prove that in this. I feel like he had 14 lines total. It just was too much coming at me for a movie where I feel like nothing happened.
My thing with Johnny Depp's character was, he was kind of overdone, like with the contact and one eye being messed up, and like, you know, I don't know. I think they could have toned down his character, could have been better. I know that because the wow factor at the end of the first one was that, right? But like
oh, he's somebody else in disguise.
But he could change, if he can change his appearance, why doesn't he fix his fucking eye?
Because he likes it that way. Maybe it's a magic eye. We don't know.
It's distracting. Anyway.
It's distracting.
Trash.
Straight garbage.
You give it a man, I give it a trash. You might lose me for the third one. Who am I kidding? I have a podcast to run. I will go see it.
I'll be there for the for all of them. There's going to be way more.
Can't wait. Speaking of things that are final but not final. Who knows? Creed 2.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hype over this film. Not, I don't know if there's a really, I think there's a good amount of hype.
I love Creed, the first one.
I love the Rocky series.
Yeah,
I love the Rocky series. But Creed 2 came out, starring Michael B. Jordan, recasting his role as Adonis Creed, and Sylvester Stallone still hanging on to his original series that nobody thought would be great and is still killing it. But life has become a balancing act for Adonis Creed. Between his personal obligations, training for his next big fight, he's up against the challenge of his life, facing an opponent with ties to his family's past, only to intensify his peddling battle in the ring. Rocky Balboa is there by his side through it all. Together, Rocky and Adonis will confront their shared legacy, question what's worth fighting for, and discover that nothing's more important than family. Creed 2 is about going back to basics to rediscover what made you a champion in the first place and remembering that no matter where you go, you can always you can't escape history.
Interesting. What a well done little intro.
That was written really well, actually. Yeah. I was really, really looking forward to this. I think I missed Ryan Coogler on this one, but I understood.
Wait, you didn't do this one?
No.
Are you sure?
1,000%.
That's ridiculous.
Black Panther 2 is going to be his first sequel, which obviously is why he didn't do this one.
Who did this one?
Steve something or other. Let me check. I got it.
Steve Chappell Jr. Where'd the Google?
This movie was... I don't know what I'm going to say about it. I like this movie. It fits definitely right in pocket with all the rest of the Rocky movies. It's a lot of, you know, I really wanted to talk about this movie in a different forum. I wanted to bring somebody that I went to high school with who has turned, he's turned into a boxer. Not, I shouldn't say turned into, like.
Like he transformed at he night. Became,
yeah. He wasn't like, oh, like he didn't morph into a fucking boxer. No, he got into boxing and it was a solid, and still is, and has his own gym. That whole boxing mentality is a very special, unique story. And I really wanted to get his take on this conversation of, I know that Rocky is very fantasy and very Hollywood glamorized, but that the mentality of a boxer is something very unique, something very special that a lot of people don't necessarily think about. So I really wanted to sit down with him and talk about that, which we could still do down the line.
Sure.
I just have to get to Oakland.
Oh, get out there.
Yeah. But this movie, I like this movie. It got great reviews. I could see some people not liking it if they're not, but it's just it's a good story in the Rocky franchise. I'm gonna give it a splash. You haven't seen this movie yet, right?
I have not, but it's on my list because I'm excited.
I don't want to spoil this one for you. Not that there's a whole lot to not spoil. You obviously know he's gonna fight. Freaking, wow, Drago. He fights Drago's son. Yeah. And it brings back, obviously, some bad blood. There's a few things in the story I'm like, why the fuck did that happen? But yeah. I disregarded it because I wanted to like the movie.
You're so like, I'll let this happen.
I'm going to let, yeah, you know how you let some stuff slide? You're
you have to.
Okay, yeah. I usually don't do that, but for this one, I did that. But it's still all in all, you see the new chapter that Adonis goes through and... Pride is a very heavy thing here, and you just see him kind of deal with that and like have to make choices in life. But as far as I know, it came out recently that Sylvester Stallone said that this is his last one
of the whole. He's gonna close it down.
There's definitely that moment in the movie. I'll say that.
Where you feel like it's the end.
You know how they use like words where you're like, oh yeah, I know what that means. Yeah, you know,
like, we're not gonna do this no more. Like things like that.
There's that moment. So I don't know if this movie continues on to a third one. It kind of doesn't have to, but it could. It kind of just depends. But you definitely. And one thing you do notice though is Michael B. Jordan got like a size or two bigger.
He's a bigger. From the first one. He's a bigger dude.
I watched the first one. And obviously he did Black Panther after this one, after that, and then this movie. But he definitely got, he's definitely bigger.
Okay, well, I'm going to make it to the movie theater and check this film out. For sure.
Yeah, Creed 2 was the one to watch over the holiday break.
Okay, well.
Unless you're...
I got some, some stuff to do. Stuff. I got some business to take care of.
Movies coming up that I'm looking forward to is actually this. I think it's called Anne and the Apocalypse. Anna and the Apocalypse. This is a Christmas movie with zombies going down. I think it's a British movie.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that, but it looks fucking dope.
Really?
Can't wait for that one.
Yeah. Okay, well, here we go.
So we'll be doing a review on that one on Splash Trash and Mab, along with our Once Upon a Deadpool. You can always find us at G to the Splash BC on Instagram, Facebook, or email us. Drop us a line.
Heck yeah. Get on us. Talk with us. We want to know what you're into. We want creative feedback about the show, what you think about movies. All of it. We want to hear all of it from you. So email us, blow us up on our Instagram at G to the Splash, on our Facebook, whatever. Come at us, bro. Bro.
Come at us, bro. You can even email us over at gsplashbc@gmail.com.
Heck yeah.
And as always, if you could take a quick second and just say, yeah, this show is cool on iTunes.
They're trying their hardest, these guys are.
They're doing it.
They're doing their best.
We'll hear every week, same rap channel, same rap station.